Welcome to the Keegan Smith Podcast. Choose what you give your life to or have it stolen from you. My mission is to rewire for power. We've all been gifted massive potential. This podcast is about unwrapping that gift. What if you could? Potentiating wellness, abundance, and movement. Today's podcast is made possible thanks to Prove It Ketones. I got onto Prove It Ketones through Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss, and I'm glad that I did. I was following the ketogenic diet, and adding the ketones to what I was doing definitely improved my training, improved my recovery. The research keeps getting bigger, better, wider. So many benefits to this product, and the amazing stories that I've heard from people all over the world who've completely transformed their bodies and their lives with this product makes it a pretty amazing thing to offer. So if you want some, reach out, realmovement.proveitnow.com, or message me and I will connect you up with a sample. All right, here we are. I'm back. Apologize for not speaking to you guys for a while. There's a couple of things going on there, and you might hear the bells ringing in the background. I don't know if you will or not. If the audio quality is not quite up to the usual standard, it's because I'm in Germany and I don't have my usual microphone. But I do hope that the quality will come through very well. And yeah, I'm really excited to do this podcast today. I haven't done one for a while, and I miss you guys. I miss the opportunity to share. I love the feedback that has come from this podcast. Why have I not done it? Just broke the rhythm getting to Europe. I've been in Europe for the last month and a bit. Those of you who follow me on Instagram will have seen. But yeah, I just haven't made it happen. I live in a little flat here with the rest of the family, and it's not always super easy, but basically I just haven't got it done. I've wanted to do it, and I haven't done it. I've had a lot to tell you guys. I did a body weight cut, a body fat cut. I got down to 7% or a bit less than 7%. I posted that on Facebook and Instagram, something that I don't usually do. Like, my brand isn't really built around body image and being super shredded, even though, as with most guys, like, I love like the Greek god physiques, and you know, it's part of the picture. And I think structure and function are two things that are very tightly linked together. So when you have better structure, then you're more likely to have better function, and vice versa. And I think a lot of the injuries that I've had with tendons and such are because I haven't put enough effort into building the structure. So I've done a lot of bodybuilding work here, but I also decided that I was going to get lean or die trying. Like, I really decided, like, I've had enough of this. I want to see what it feels like to be, you know, 83, 84 kilos and super lean. And I managed to do that. I didn't drop to like 80 kilos. And yeah, it feels good. I got sick straight after it. I went to France to do a 4-day event. Just with the travel, with the food that I had there, I'd been training really hard. And French food is amazing, but I was eating like cold meats from the supermarket just to get my just stick to my eating plan. And I can do another podcast. I've done an Instagram TV talking about exactly the protocol that I followed and the keys, I guess, to executing that protocol. But if you've got any more questions, like, hit me up. But I'm really proud that I did that. I really enjoyed it, and the keto reboot definitely played a big part in it, right? So I posted about the keto reboot. As the intro for this podcast says, I am very passionate about exogenous ketones. And the keto reboot is 500 calories over 60 hours. So you can imagine, with 500 calories over 60 hours, you lose a ton of fat. And every time I do it, I lose a ton of fat. I lose a lot of fluid, and I look the best I ever look in the 24 hours to 48 hours after the keto reboot. And I posted about that. It's very clear that fasting has extreme and powerful effects on physiology. As does very high levels of blood ketones. And you're getting ketones endogenously and exogenously when you're in such a calorie deficit and when you're doing hard training. And I'm already keto adapted, so like, I'm in keto heaven doing that reboot. And the thing works really well, and I want people to experience it because it's freaking amazing. And there's way too many people in the world who are suffering because they don't know how to get the body they want, and I want to help people do that. So I put up a post telling the world about what I see there, what I'm feeling there, overlapping with what I understand of the research, and I got hammered. I got crucified. I got bashed. I know that a lot of people are going to make the association between myself and the comments that have been made there. A lot of that stuff's going to stick for a long time, and that's going to be people's perception of me, people who don't know me at all. And Yeah, I mean, it's been challenging. Like, it's the biggest wave of hate that I've ever felt against me. And I don't really feel it's justified. Like, yes, I have made a lot of money with ketones, but if you look at what's happening there, I mean, firstly, if you hate everybody that's made money, like, that's a whole different conversation. I understand that perspective, and I probably was there at some stage in my 20s. But that's not exactly something that, I want to talk about right now. It's more of a political thing. So it's not that I've made a lot of money. It's that they don't believe in exogenous ketones, or they think because it's network marketing that it has to be a light. Like, I've thought about and looked at creating my own brand of exogenous ketones, and if I had have done that, I'm pretty sure I would never have received that level of hatred. But I could be wrong. Anyway, I put together a post. I decided to jump into the research. And there's like 50 new studies, 40 new studies in 2017 and 18 around beta hydroxybutyrate and across all sorts of areas. Lots of stuff around brain function, around glucose uptake, around insulin levels, around how the heart deals with beta hydroxybutyrate, the signaling molecule effect, the effects on training, the effects on satiety. There's just lots and lots and lots and lots of research and scientists who are very, very excited about exogenous ketones. And a bunch of those guys are PhDs, and one of them is one of the most recognized scientists of our time. He's been inducted into the Scientific Inventors Hall of Fame in Florida, with Thomas Edison and people like that. He's a huge fan of ketosis and one of the key investigators into exogenous ketones, and he speaks he has spoken at Prove It events. And to stand with people like that is something that I'm very proud of. And to stand with Dom D'Agostino and his recent podcast with Ben Pekowski is very very powerful. And I think even a lot of the guys on the fringe are starting to acknowledge that, yeah, there's probably a role for this stuff. Like, I'm it's not for everybody every day, according to a lot of the experts, but they are opening their eyes to the potential benefits and uses of exogenous ketones. And yeah, it's crazy how much hate came from people who I really, really doubt that a lot of them have even been on Google Scholar and typed in beta hydroxybutyrate. I doubt that they've really done anything. It started with Menno Hanselmans. So he's a guy who I respect a lot. He's a Dutch guy. He's got super shredded, and he does like research reviews. He doesn't have a training background, but he's got an economics sort of statistics background. So he looks at things from that perspective. And when I put that post up, he came back and said, "Look, there's these two studies here that say that exogenous ketones aren't actually that good, like you're saying." And he put out two studies, like, and one of those studies is one of the most criticized studies of the year. Like, it's literally a paper that shouldn't have been published, that people are experts in science. Dr. Ken Ford, who's one of the most respected scientists alive today, he's come out and said that it's embarrassing that that paper was actually published, and the journal should really be embarrassed. And it's like a bit of a letdown for the whole industry, that paper has been published. So that was one of the things that he threw up as evidence. I deleted his thing straight away because I didn't want to deal with the whole shitstorm. I was in Paris at the time. I was a little bit flat after that 4-day event, and I knew that I wasn't going to have all day to respond to abusive messages. So I just deleted it straight away, hoping that I could avoid a shitstorm. I messaged him privately saying, "Hey, let's talk about this." And then there was an avalanche of sort of hate and abuse, and a specific post aimed at discrediting me and discrediting my character. And a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon, and that's like a real, real sign of character weakness, I think. And yeah, it's very disappointing for those people, that they sort of feel the need to, they see someone getting bashed and they want to just jump in and kick, like, especially when I know they haven't done the research, like, they've got no foundation for it in science, and they don't actually have a foundation for it in anything human. Like, they don't know me, and yet they want to jump in. So, but now I would say that I'm very, very grateful that that happened, because it made me realize that if you're not pissing people off, then you're probably not actually doing anything. And it's probably something that I've forgotten, and I am a bit of a people pleaser. It does disappoint me when, if anyone walks away from a 2-day event or a 4-day event and they haven't had a mind-blowing experience, like, that really bothers me. And it doesn't generally happen for that reason. But yeah, I mean, like, there's all these people who are saying they're extremely disappointed with the way I'm choosing to live my life. when, you know, I know that I'm one of the people who's most conscious of having as much positive influence on the world as you can, training as hard as you can, eating as well as you can, reading as much, learning as much. Like, I don't know, you know, really anyone, or there's very few people who are making that same effort. You know, there's probably people online who I suspect are, but, you know, like, yeah, it's difficult to sort of see people at a distance telling you like you're a scumbag when they just really have no foundation for that. But it comes back, and I want to relate this back to you guys. Like, everybody lives in a box, and we're doing a call tonight for the community, the Prove It community, and talking to the people who are part of this business. And we do weekly self-development and business coaching, and you know, people were sort of sharing like why this business has been so powerful for them. And a big part of it is that overcoming the fear of being judged by other people and being judged by people they don't know. And I've been listening to a lot of Jordan Peterson over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, he was talking about Skinner and Skinner's research with animals. And he was amazing at training animals. So when he's looking at behavior change, one of the, you know, key things that he was doing with behavior change, like, you know, rewarding certain behaviors and looking at fear responses and fear conditioning. And one of the examples was like, if you want to overcome the fear of elevators, or lifts, as we say in Australia, is like, if first of all, just, you know, stand 50 meters from an elevator and just look at it and just think about it, but don't engage with it anymore. And, you know, as soon as you feel like you're close enough, then just stop and just stand there for a little bit, and then that's it. And then come back a week later and go a bit closer, and then stand next to the door, and then actually poke your head in and have a look around, and then actually go inside and have a look at all the things inside it. And then eventually there is no fear of the elevator, and people can progress quite quickly with this. And, you know, this is, he's a trained psychologist, and Skinner is obviously one of the experts in behavior psychology. You know, I went through it in first year university. I probably wasn't that passionate about it. The lecturer didn't interest me or excite me at all. But I do remember going through some of that material, and that's what this is. Like, having 1,000 people come out and tell you like you're a piece of shit because you want to push a supplement, like you believe that this supplement's really good, you believe that it helps you, and you believe that it helps other people, therefore you're a bad person, and I you know, I want to say really bad things about you, and I don't like you anymore. That is probably like beyond what I wanted in terms of like going straight into the lift straight away and having the lift that he, you know, fall and having one of the cables break or being stuck in lift. I was once stuck in a lift during university games. There was about 25 of us in a very small lift, and everyone had been drinking, and we got stuck in the lift for about an hour. And that was pretty intense. That's probably not the first experience that someone who doesn't like lifts wants to be in. And I would say it was probably a little bit more than I want, more than what I bargained for. But you know, the universe gives you what you need, not necessarily what you want. And I'm so glad that I had that wave of hate. Like, I'm really grateful for Menno for, you know, not doing the research and not understanding what's going on here, and throwing that wave of hate at me. It sort of took me away. You know, it's helped me to change direction and be even more clear about who I am and what I stand for, and you know, realizing that, yeah, you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna stand for something, and other people stand for something else, then there's going to be conflict between that. There's going to be opposition. I've written what I believe is the best blog post I've ever written. There's over 50 studies in the blog post. There's also links to 20 plus podcasts with PhD experts. So it's very, very clear that the science world is excited about exogenous ketones. The question then is the evidence conclusive enough to justify people consuming ketones and people telling other people to consume ketones? And you've got someone like Brianna Stubbs, who's Oxford trained international level rower, who says, yes, they work for her. Yes, they work for the athletes in front of her. Yes, she's seen increased satiety. Yes, she's worked with professional strength and conditioning coaches who've said that their athletes recover better. And she is, you know, part of the Esther's company, Human, and she's supporting the, you know, that. But she also acknowledges the role of ketone salts for other potential uses. And, you know, you can hear Dr. Ken Ford also speak about salts having more likely an impact and emphasis on, you know, day-to-day usage and how they are likely very beneficial on top of keto adaptation and, you know, people who are already doing a ketogenic diet. So if these people with extreme levels of education who have just, you know, the people who've dedicated their lives to books and learning, if they're all about this, then, you know, who are you? Like, who are these people to say that it's ridiculous? And yes, they have the right to say, look, the evidence isn't enough for me to take this stuff yet, or the evidence isn't enough for me to, you know, have this business yet. But I don't see how they have the authority to tell me what I should be doing. It's clearly not a scam. It's clearly something that the science world is very, very excited about. They're just simply not interested in the science. They're interested in, are there proven studies in humans proving fat loss or proving performance enhancement? But there are so many applications beyond that, and I'm interested in those applications. I'm interested in the mental illness side of things. I'm interested in the blood sugar regulation side of things. I'm interested in health and wellness. And, you know, I have 2 years of anecdotal experience. I have 2 years of people saying, this stuff works really well for me, give me more. And I've been on it and off it, and I've stopped on it a bunch of times. I actually stopped on it for the last 10 days. One of the other reasons I haven't done many podcasts is I went off my carnivore diet that I've been speaking to you guys about, gradually adding more and more stuff in, and then, you know, doing the version of the protein sparing modified fast, like a really pure protein diet. I started to get hay fever again, and I deviated a lot from what I was doing, and that's part of the reason why I haven't done the podcast, is because I had blocked sinuses, and it's not fun to try and, you know, speak, and I don't like the way my voice sounds. I've got a tiny bit of restriction there at the moment, but, you know, I'm 90% free to breathe. So I wasn't at my best with all that, so I actually stopped the ketones for the last sort of like 7, 8, 9, 10 days, just while I was doing like just beef and water as a reset. Oh, it's probably not been that long, actually. It's probably been like 6 days. I did like beef and water as a reset, and it works for me. And something else that you can hear Jordan Peterson talk about, he's not as experienced or qualified or interested in that topic as myself, but he's a great speaker, and he has had a big life change. And his daughter, Michaela, has had a huge, huge life change using the carnivore diet. She's had 2 joint replacements because of arthritis, I think before her 20s, but she's now like a young mum. And the story is very, very powerful. And yeah, I mean, I had tiramisu, creme brulee, a glass of wine and a kilo of steak and probably like too much chocolate and a bunch of that stuff in France. Right at the end of the event, I was at 6.8% body fat. I was celebrating. I was a bit tired. And I was smashed. Like, I was the worst I've ever been while still consuming food. It felt like I'd done a 6-day fast, like zero energy, just really, really like chronic fatigue, horrible, horrible feeling that I just couldn't shake. And I had it for, you know, like 3, 4, 5 days. And I was just doing sauna and doing breathing and then, you know, back to full strict carnivore. And thankfully, I've got my mojo back. I've got my energy back because tomorrow I go to Spain to present for 4 days and, you know, training camp for 4 days. We've got 4 French guys coming, 3 Irish and an Australian guy. So it's going to be very, very exciting. There's a girl there as well. I don't know if I said guys all the way through, but that's going to be awesome. Mike's gym is one of the most spectacular places in the world to do some training, to spend some time. I'm really, really looking forward to that. And I'm glad that I'm back on top of the world to go down there. I just trained today in CrossFit Amrain here in Dusseldorf. It is a fantastic gym as well, world class. It's got a CrossFit gym, but then it's got like a whole big sort of powerlifting, bodybuilding gym as well, open spaces, non-motorized treadmills. World class, like definitely world class. Better than the Globo I've been training at. The Globo gym's pretty cool too, I must admit. But CrossFit Amrain is very powerful. And I'm going hard at some powerlifting numbers now. I hit that bodybuilding target that I've been really focused on. And I think I can maintain that body composition or something very close to it just by maintaining good health. I have blown up a little bit. I would say I'm like 7.5 or something. I need to test. But I'm not quite as shredded as I was nailing all that. But I kind of stepped back from it and, you know, ate a bunch there. as my immune system kind of crapped itself on the back of all of that different stress and travel. And yeah, there's a lot of different factors in there, sleep deprivation and such, but such is life. And it's fun to see how quickly I can get back on track. Jordan Peterson talks about being knocked out for a month, like not sleeping properly for, I think he said a month, after having some cider. And yeah, Michaela talks about it as well, like feeling really bad for a really long time after they do something out of the ordinary. I would say I'm not that sensitive, but I'm probably not that far off. Like, I think there's canaries and there's cockroaches. Like, there's the concept of genetic momentum. If you looked into the work of Weston A. Price or Pottinger's cats, you understand. If you haven't looked into that stuff, you should definitely check it out. But basically, there's like generational decline. And anyone who works with animals, racehorses, dog breeding, any of that sort of thing, they understand this. But it's happening in humans and we don't realize it. So, you know, the runt of the litter, that phenomenon is real in humans. And, you know, sickly kids being born of sickly parents is very, very real. And we're now 2, 3, 4 generations into this experiment of what happens if you try and live really, really badly in terms of cigarettes, alcohol, food quality, life stress, pollution, lowering food quality, introducing processed foods, mass consumption of pharmaceuticals. This experiment is running wild and the results are in. It failed. It doesn't work. I would say I'm a few generations into some of that trouble. And if I deviate too far from what a human is meant to be doing, God comes down on me with an iron fist. And I want to be a cockroach. I want to be resilient. I want to be able to do whatever the frick I want and stand like a Greek god and you know, come out the other side of it unscathed. But the reality is, when I overtrain, when I undersleep, when I deviate in terms of my food, when I don't do detoxification practices systematically, I can't live. I can't function. And there's probably more people out there like that, like me, than they actually realize, and they're just kind of suffering through it and just letting it sort of see what happened. And part of this, I do think, is my grandparents, my parents, and that sort of thing. But a lot of it is also the stupidity that I exercised between sort of 16 and 22, 25, 28. It's probably like 28, I actually realized I actually need to get healthy again. When I started to work in strength and conditioning at the Catalan Dragons, I said, well, look, if I'm going to lead a team of athletes in physical development, I should probably do something decent with my own body and my own physiology. And, you know, I went and did biosignature with Charles Poliquin. I think that was one of the smartest things I did, even though I probably made a lot of mistakes off the back of that. But I learned a lot, and it introduced me to a whole new world of optimizing physiology that I wasn't aware of or introduced to through university. And university does an extremely bad job of setting people up to optimize, you know, human performance, human physiology. You know, studying exercise science, it's an absolute joke. Like, if you really look at what they're teaching there, and they may claim that it's not their job to teach you how to actually be good at anything, that they just want to give you the scientific fundamentals and then you go and get experience and you go and learn it on the job. But, you know, that's really not a very good deal financially. I know that people who spend a week with me are in a better position than most people, what they're getting out of a year at university. And, you know, that's a big claim and people might hate on me for that, but I'll stand by it. I know that, yeah, it's about implementation. It's about application. It's about continuing to experiment and research and passion. And I think the whole education system is very flawed. And that's probably a whole other podcast. What else did I want to talk about with you guys today? Getting out of that freaking box, all right? So that if that's the topic, how to escape the box we live in. Yeah, well, it's that desensitization stuff. Like, if you want to be a passionate public speaker, if you want to have the power to do a podcast, like, set yourself the target of doing one Instagram story every day where you speak into the camera, and then turn that into an Instagram TV after a month, and then turn that into a YouTube channel, and then turn that into a Facebook Live. And when your mates say, hey, what are you doing, you dickhead? Say, hey, what are you doing, you dickhead? No, don't even say anything. Just live. And if people are pushing back against that, then you know they've got something wrong deep inside of themselves. Like, if they're giving you technical feedback, and if they, you know, I mean, any feedback is welcome, but people who are trying to discourage you from living your dreams and living what you're most passionate about, like, those people probably shouldn't play that big a role in the decisions that you're making in life. So, you know, desensitize yourself to that criticism. Like, maybe even post something that you know everyone's going to hate on. You know, like I posted about vaccines a while back. The pigeon that just flew past is not vaccinated. When that pigeon gets vaccinated, I'll go and vaccinate myself. Like, I have copped a bunch of vaccines, and I'm pretty sure it was also a part of the trouble there at some stage. When I got a bunch of vaccines altogether, yellow fever and stuff, going for my trips in Latin America. But I'll take it. Like, you know, people say, like, the big plagues and all that stuff, like, you know, you're going to invite that stuff back. That stuff is the result of people, you know, not looking after themselves. That stuff is the result of sewage in the streets, of low water quality, you know, poor personal hygiene. Doctors didn't wash their freaking hands there for a long time. And, you know, personal hygiene, there is something to that. But, you know, the concept of vaccination, there's a lot of controversy there. There's a lot of people on both sides of the argument. It's an extremely passionate thing. But anyway, invoking a bunch of hate, and that's a surefire way to do it. It may just give you some freedom, like realizing, well, okay, like everyone just told me they don't like me because I have this opinion. Now what? You know, and just move forward from there. Like that's where I'm at today. And I've been here for a couple of days now. For sure, I want to serve those people, like all those people who hated on me, who have no idea why I'm doing what I'm doing. Like I put together a 12,000 word post, the most work I've ever done, lots of edits, lots of help from friends and stuff, to try to help people understand that it isn't a decision that I've made lightly. But whatever, you know, some people are going to look at that. A lot of people will never look at it, and they'll just assume that I'm a bad person because I promote exogenous ketones. Like, you know, whatever, like that's, if that's their judgment system, if that's their level of intelligence, then, you know, I can't save everybody, but I have made an attempt to support anyone who is interested in understanding something there. So moving forward, such a blessing to be back in the gym, training at CrossFit Amrine today and just feeling that beautiful barbell. I did snatch balance up to 60 kilo triple, nice and smooth. It felt lovely. 50 felt lovely, 60 I caught a bit higher and stuff. I didn't really fully attack it, but it felt really smooth. And then I back squatted up to just 5 at 100, nice and smooth, and then 140 for a single. And then I did standing press 70 for a single, and I did some one-arm chin-up work and a little bit of a run. And that was it. Like, I am literally, like, getting my body back into this, and I'm blessed and grateful to have a body that is interested in getting back into the gym, because I did abuse it a bit there, and I did push it pretty hard with the body fat loss and then all that other stuff as well, with the travel and playing around with some food and late nights and stuck in airplanes and whatever. But I'm blessed. I'm back on track. I'm going to do a powerlifting competition 9 weeks from now. Hold me to that. Difficult to hold yourself to anything in this world. It's difficult to stay accountable. It's difficult to stay consistent. And we've got the R20 group there, and I can see, you know, and people, you know, you make up stories and you're like, well, no, well, but the goal is to use the best self program and also interact with other people, and just consistently reflect every day on what you do, every week on what you do, and over the 13 weeks of what progress you've made. And I believe it's just so powerful. I don't know what percentage. I would say like 30, 50% improvement in output based on that freaking book and just based on, you know, that culture and that community. We haven't nailed the community and culture around it yet. I kicked it off just before I left to Singapore, and I just, yeah, I haven't nailed it all. And I guess that's part of the criticism that came out with some of this keto stuff is like, well, not everything you did with Real Movement Project was perfect either. And, you know, David Baker, you didn't really ever properly do the program. So that's for one. But shouting out criticism in the middle of all the stuff that's going on, like, I would say it's really a sign of a weak character. And, you know, I'm not saying you're a weak person. You can probably kick the shit out of me. You do kickboxing and stuff. But weak character, 100%. You know, coming out at that time with that kind of commentary, like, really disappointing. But yeah, I haven't nailed it all with Real Movement. Like, if I'd have nailed it all, it'd be a $10 million, $100 million business. Like, I'd be Exos, and I'm not. And okay, like, I admit I'm not Exos. And, you know, I don't really want to be Exos. Exos is kind of dry and boring. But, yeah, I want to do something. Like, I want to demonstrate the post, you know, the next evolution after kind of fitness and Globo gyms and even, like, the new sort of niche community gyms. I know what the next evolution could, should, would be, and I'm trying to build that, and I try to launch that franchise at the start of this year with Real You. I didn't nail it. Look, I didn't nail it. You know, it's, sometimes you don't nail it, you know, and I guess it does hurt for sure, and I've lost, you know, I've lost some friends over that, but would I not do it? Like, would I step back and say, no, like, I'll wait until I'm ready? If I'd have waited till I'm ready, I never would have done any strength and conditioning. I never would have even gone backpacking. I never would have been an English teacher. I never would have flown to Spain for some random girl who I'd never met before, or Ecuador. But then I wouldn't have gone to Paris and caught up with my wife again, you know? So I you can't regret it, you know? You connect the dots looking backwards. You've got to be grateful for what you've done. And, you know, I have a vision for a place where people go that no one has ever created, that will change the world. I know that it will exist. I don't know whether I'll be the one to bring it into existence, or who I'll bring it into existence with, but all that kind of stuff excites the hell out of me. I've got, you know, I've got a concept that goes beyond TED Talks that is just very, very exciting. And I love dreaming of those concepts. Am I the best person in the world at putting together every single piece of the puzzle it takes to turn something from an amazing concept into a reality? I'll concede, like, I'm not the best at everything, but I'm trying, and I want to be able to work well with other people to get cool stuff done. I do have some really cool teams and some really cool people around me. Yeah, that's where it's at. But, you know, like, you to escape the box that society creates for you to like really live the life that you want, like, you got to roll the dice, like, start another business. Doesn't have to be Prove It. I'm not selling you Prove It. Like, Prove It has changed my life and it's changed a lot of people's lives, and it's a freaking amazing business, and it's the best supplement that the world has seen to date, from to my knowledge, from my experience. But it doesn't have to be your vehicle. Just choose a vehicle. Like, at least have a go, have a guess. Look at an alternative. Like, if your life was to become everything you want it to be, if you were to live with amazing purpose, you know, like, if every day was an exciting day, like, what would you have to be doing? Like, would you have a podcast? Would you have a social media audience? Would you be creating infographics, or would you be running live events in Spain? Or what would it be? It's engaging with those dreams and then making calls and just trying stuff out and testing hypotheses. Like, that is the foundation of my life. I can't apologize for that, because I'm freaking blessed. Like, that would be to be not grateful for the amazing things that have happened in my life. Like, the market loves ketones, and Prove It is dominating the market, and I'm dominating Prove It. You know, I'm one of the biggest players, you know, in Australia in Prove It, and I don't know, probably top 100 or 200 or something inside of Prove It. Cool. Do your thing. That's what I'm saying. Do your thing. Don't let people put you in a little box, and gradually expand that freaking box. Like, one of the things that I heard about that a men's club was doing, I think it was Jordan Peterson as well, saying go and ask 50 women for their phone number. Like, just go up and speak to 50 women and ask them for their phone number. And do it in a nice way and do it in an authentic way and genuinely ask them for their phone number. And by the end of 50 attempts, you'll be a different person and a better person and someone who's better able to relate to females. Now, I'm not going to take on that experiment because it wouldn't be ethical as a father and as a husband, and that's not really what I'm about. But if you're a single person and you don't want to be single, rather than swiping left and swiping right, like, take on the challenge of just desensitizing yourself to rejection. And you might just find that you don't need to abuse alcohol as much, and you can relate better to the opposite sex and move yourself towards your dreams. And that is ultimately what we're all here for. Move towards your dreams. If it pisses other people off, then that is their business. Consider their perspective and consider, you know, how that might shape your path in the future. But don't let that fear dictate your life. Don't let that fear, you know, make your decision for you before you've even, you know, started, before you've even opened the door. If today's podcast is of any value to you, I would love for you to share it. I'm also going to read out the coolest review. If someone does something really thoughtful, I'm going to read that thing out. And if I'm not too lazy, I might even send you some juggling balls or some kind of cool prize. I'd also love to hear what you're working on. Like, you need to have something that's getting incrementally better. I don't care what it is. Like, I have laid out what I think it should be inside of Real Movement, and R20 is about making that happen. But choose your thing and incrementally get better at something. One of my best friends is falling in a massive rut, and he's started to incrementally get better at something. And that is what you do to get yourself out of a rut in life. You don't have to come up with this big thing of purpose and meaning. Like, just get better at something. And I would say, if you don't know what your life is about, just choose that it is about decreasing the suffering of others and increasing the positivity and the positive influence, the powerful influence, the, you know, the developing influence that your actions have on other people. If you're doing that, I don't think you're too far from truth. I don't think you're too far from God's work. And, you know, you'll feel it if you're doing the right things. The energy will be there. Not everybody's going to love it, but that is okay. That is okay. And that is the message for today. Message me. Talk to you soon. Keegan Smith for the Keegan Smith Experience.
Man, that guy can talk. But he does it because he loves it. If you loved it, share it. Give us some feedback. What was great? What didn't you like? What was your biggest take-home message? Make sure you stay in touch with us on Instagram and share your wins, people. This win is only going to come if we do it together. We have to take ourselves further. By taking ourselves further, we give permission for everybody around us to make positive changes in their lives and to become the people who they want to become. Everybody's changing the world. You are changing the world. Let's do this together. Let's see how far we can take it. Imagine if we all put our full heart into becoming the best versions of ourselves every single day.